Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's artwork One Another. The date today is the 26th of September 2009 and the time is 5:30 a.m. If I can please ask you to say your full name, your age and where you come from.
I'm Catherine Houtcrow. I can never remember. I think, am I 36? I'm 36 and I live in London.
And how are you today?
I'm fine. I've got over the initial panic of arriving and seeing all the setup, and I'm calming down. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Can I ask, first of all, what was it that motivated you to apply to be part of One Another?
The fourth plinth is a very cool idea. I really like the fact that it's it does edgy things, it tries to sort of subvert and do different stuff, subvert the whole kind of man on horse on plinth thing, the Alison Lapis sculpture, the Hotel for Pigeons thing. It's all been really interesting. I've followed that. Also really like Anthony Gormley's work, and the thing I really like about him is how much of a humanist he seems to be. Stories like when he had a go at the security guards at the Royal Academy for stopping people using his sculpture there as football goals, and you know, that kind of thing. I really respect his take on things, so the combination of the two is really good. To be honest, I'm sure like a lot of people, my taking part was entering the poll, entering the draw, so I was really really kind of surprised and shocked to find I actually won a place. But yeah, I'm great.
When you found out that you had won a place, what happened then?
Well, the email arrived overnight, and I'm one of those people who uses a phone as an alarm, and it's a BlackBerry, so the email arrived and I saw it at like 6 in the morning when my alarm went off. So I kind of went, oh my god, I've got a place on the plinth, and then went back to sleep for a bit because it's Saturday. And then I told a few friends, because I'd only just entered the poll, the draw, about 5 or 6 days before the draw for September. And we'd all been sitting in the pub about 2 days before going, oh, that's hilarious, what are we going to do? What should Catherine do if she gets a place on the plinth? And then a couple of days later I was phoning people up and going, you know that conversation we were having the other night? I freaked out for a while, and then the ideas started coming in, crazy ideas from friends.
And what were those ideas?
Completely inappropriate, most of them. Somebody decided that I should do the seven deadly sins and arrive as gluttony, covered in clothes, and gradually peel off and end up as lust in my underwear, and that just wasn't going to wash for obvious reasons. Somebody else decided that I should, well, a really inappropriate idea involving pandas, and I wanted to make to do something, because I feel really strongly about what Anthony Gormley does. I kind of wanted to do justice to that, and come up with something that felt quite representative of me. Obviously all my friends were being really unhelpful with their suggestions, so I started trying to work on an idea to do with women, because I'm a feminist, and felt that perhaps with so few statues of women in London, it was an opportunity to talk about that, and started researching women that could have or should have statues. But that started to get really politicised anyway, because of the choice that you make of the women that you represent. And actually I found that there were all the obvious women actually do have statues, so and the time was just getting nearer and nearer. I was casting around for ideas, and my friends weren't really doing me many favours.
And so how did you decide in the end to spend your hour?
I guess like quite a few problems in life, I've ended up doing the same thing where I've, in a slightly feeble way, sort of gone, oh, help me, give me ideas, what do you think? And in the end, I just realised that I was going to have to sort it out, as you always do, and in the grown-up way. So I I just went back to the idea of women and statues and did a couple of days' research, and it was starting to feel too complicated, so I stumbled across an idea, a remembrance of Stanley Green, who was a Londoner who is known to quite a few people, but isn't massively known. Protein Guy, he ended up being known as. And for about the last 25 years of his life, he spent every day walking around central London, Oxford Street, Leicester Square, with a placard demonstrating his protein wisdom. And that hit a chord with me, because it was about difference and eccentricity and some of the things that I really love about London. It's kind of sad that he was ignored and a bit of a joke to a lot of people. And you can see that in the websites that there are about him. I mean, people kind of loved him, but not many people actually spoke to him. So he was sort of excluded and was a bit of a crazy. And there's other people around who are the same. I mean, there's a guy who's with this megaphone at Oxford Circus or at the museums shouting, "Are you a winner or are you a sinner?" And he goes on and on and on. And he's obviously really eccentric, but cares passionately about something. And to most people, he's a nuisance. Which is human and normal, but also kind of sad. But then at the same time, he's been on the news, he's got websites and stuff, and you bring him up in the pub and people have heard of him, and it becomes a shared experience that everybody brings everybody else closer. So I find that it's just quite a nice cusp between being actually quite sad, but also quite affirming that London can soak up and accommodate eccentric people like this, and that they become part of everybody's life. You just hope that they don't end up too damaged by it, and that they're not excluded, and you kind of feel that they are, but at the same time there's something quite sort of community about it. Maybe there are new idiots in stocks, I don't know. Humans and villages and towns have always had that sort of thing, haven't they? So yeah, I felt like he represented something that mattered to me, and at that stage of the game it was also a good idea because it was quite easy to pull off.
Do you have personal memories of Protein?
I saw him once, but he died in 93, so I came to London full-time a year after that, but visiting in my teens, I saw him once. I remember him and another guy who had a much bigger sign, and God knows how he cast it around London. Stanley Green used to get his in a bike and cycle from home, and this other guy used to cower behind his sign, and he was obviously not quite all there, but yeah, I saw him once, and it was more of a I think you mention it at the time and it cements in your memory, and then someone mentions him again later and you go, oh yeah, I definitely remember seeing him. So only one time.
And so how are you going to remember him on the plinth?
Well, I've just made a replica of his sign, basically. He used to turn up with every day in overalls and a hat, with a little satchel, and he always brought his lunch into town and ate it underground at Oxford Circus Tube. Obviously, I haven't gone the whole hog with the uniform, but I've just made a copy of his sign, and I'm just going to stand there. He never really heckled or harangued anybody, and that was why I chose to do him over winner or sinner guy, because I wasn't going to stand there for an hour with a megaphone shouting that, but... yeah, he just stood there, so I'm going to stand there and just take in what's going on around the square, and if people ask about him, then I'll tell them what's going on and they can look him up and maybe hopefully think about that. It's not a big statement, it's more of just a little connection and a thing that I love about London, so that's it really.
How are you feeling about standing on the plinth personally now that you're actually here?
It's kind of like saying yes to speaking at a conference or something. It seems like a good idea at the time, and then when you get there you're a bit like a rabbit in the headlights, but it's going to be fine. It was a bit unnerving arriving at the office, and there's so much bustle and the cherry picker and everything, but actually the nerves did their work and I had to nip over to the loo and just walking across the square at that time of night, and Jack was up there playing his guitar, and it's going to be fine. Yes, feeling a bit, looking forward to it. Also looking forward to it being over so I can look back on it. That's always the best bit.
And overall, what kind of experience are you hoping to have by taking part in one another, do you think?
Well, it was important to me to find something to do that meant something, because I want to be able to look back on it and be proud that I've taken part and been part of something that Anthony Gormley's done. I'm hoping that people will be positive and that I won't get lots of heckling. I just want to contribute to it, really. Some people have done such amazing things, and I'm not really a performer, so I wasn't going to pull any of that stuff off, but it's still great to be part of, you know, a cog in this particular machine. I should confess as well, I've just got a little gag. I really wanted to get the placard thing came from thinking I should just put a golf sale sign up, which is, you know, a really trashy sign. Why would people have golf sales? But there always seems to be a golf sale on, and there's a sign on Oxford Street. So I wanted to get a photo of me in front of the National Gallery with one of those, so I'm going to whip one of those out as well.
Can I ask you to say a bit about yourself?
I grew up in the Midlands in a little village, so moving to London was quite a transformation for me, and I guess that's another reason why the Stanley Green thing chimes, because he instantly showed on one of my first visits to London that this was a completely different place from where I grew up. It was always very frustrating in the countryside, not being able to get anywhere, not having lots of friends around in a little village, or your friends are in different villages and you can't get there. So London was great. Instantly knew that I was happy here, and have ended up doing involved quite a bit in London's cultural life, because I work in museums. I worked at the Science Museum and then at London Zoo. And have followed quite a few of the events that we're lucky to have in London, like the Sultan's Elephant and some other stuff that Artichoke have done. So I try and get involved and get new experiences, and that horror of getting stuck in a rut and doing the same thing over and over again is what sort of pushes me to do everything, really. So changing my job all the time and moving house, and being involved in this seems to fit, and I hope I do it justice, but that's it, really.
What do you do?
At the moment, I just set up my own company 18 months ago with a designer friend, and it's an exhibition development and design company. So we do exhibitions in museums. At the moment, we're working on a science garden for Birmingham and a tin mining exhibition in Cornwall. So yeah, every project's different, and we get to learn a little bit about lots and lots of different things. So it fits me really well, and it's a really nice mix of being creative and then just getting stuff done. So yeah.
And what was your route into this field of work?
Stumbled into it when I did science at university, and went travelling after that. And then when I came to London, I didn't really know what to do. And a friend mentioned the explainers at the Science Museum and thought that would be good for me. And they weren't recruiting at the time, but I started there as a volunteer doing audience research. And it kind of grew from there. I got a permanent job there. And at the zoo was much more involved in managing and delivering projects, and wasn't terribly good at working for people. Always had had some really good managers, but also had some managers that I didn't get on with so well. So in the end, decided to give this a go, and my parents always work for themselves and my partner works for himself, so it felt like there was plenty of a safety net there with people who knew what they were doing. So I just gave it a go just at the start of a massive global recession, which was perfect timing.
What are your passions in life?
I'm definitely more of a generalist. I've never had even a rock group that I've really lost it over. I'm a feminist, I've said that before, and if anything really gets me going, then it's somebody announcing that women can't park or something like that. And I feel really strongly about people being engaged, but I guess, you know, I'm not a massive political activist. It's more about the work that I do is all focused on that, trying to get people to think about what they're seeing, and just even if it's a picture or you know, an animal in a zoo, or trying to get them beyond that, you know, existing, and actually thinking about things and developing thoughts about stuff. So yeah, I don't have any like major beefs with anything apart from the feminism thing. I like I say, I'm a generalist, so I love finding out a bit about loads of different things.
Is there anything in particular that inspires you with your feminism, with your belief in this?
It's my parents were fantastic. They I think I left home never thinking for a second that there was anything that I couldn't do or a place that I couldn't go, and life kind of corrects you quite quickly on that score. And I've always found it offensive that people expect me to do something that's like that they judge me on my appearance, and that it's noticeable if you actually dress up and do all the makeup and all that stuff, that you get a completely different reaction. And I find that offensive because, you know, I've got a brain and there's stuff going on in there, and I wouldn't dream of judging people. I suppose we all do it to a degree, but that was kind of a shock to me when I grew up, and it's made me angry rather than anything else. So yeah, I guess that's it. And I am a terror for not letting things go. So if somebody says anything, and it can be lively at home because Richard hasn't thought some of this, my partner hasn't thought some of this stuff through. So he actually does occasionally say things like women can't park, and I'll always, always take him to task over it. So he keeps me on my toes.
And who are you doing this for today?
Yeah, that's a difficult question, because I guess in a sense I'm doing it for myself, but hopefully I'm definitely doing it for the people who manage to make stuff like this happen. It's kind of a bit supporting people who can get through the bureaucracy, and the London has done some really amazing things lately. Like I say, the fourth plinth is a really good example of that. The Sultan's Elephant, I just couldn't believe that they managed to convince everybody to work together to dig up half of Horse Guards, you know, that was just astonishing. And knowing how difficult it can be to get anything through, like calling something can just take weeks of effort. So hopefully I'm doing it for people who can get that stuff done to make it easier. And hopefully I'm also doing it, if anybody connects with the whole Standing Green thing, I'm also doing it for people who feel a bit different. Like there's loads of Geeks Inherit the Earth movies out there at the moment, but it's you know, I was never the most popular kid, and London's the place, cities are the places where you can, that doesn't matter, and you can find out who you are and whatever you're doing. So I guess Stanley Green managed it, even though he had quite eccentric beliefs. So yeah, maybe it's for them too.
What's important to you in your life at the moment?
I'm glad I'm not on camera. Tearing up. What's important to me in my life? Mid-30s life, I guess it's the balance. It's something that bothers a lot of people, of trying to get through this decision of, again, it's the feminism thing, is anger at the, if we're going to have a family, then it's me that has to make those sacrifices. And and work is such a big part of what I do, that it's a shame that these things have to be, we haven't got to that point yet where it's not a compromise. So that's the thing that's important right now. Any lighter questions?
What do you think about this project, the One Another?
Well, yeah, like I say, it's very cool. I think it's great that there's a range of people from, you know, they're making Godzilla outfits and huge props and just doing really entertaining things. I love Gerard as well and his crazy tent with inflatables. coming out of it. But then you've also got people who've been snatched off the street and haven't given it a moment's thought, and they're just stuck in the middle of it. And a lot of people obviously using it as downtime and taking things in and sketching and thinking. And people like Rita before me who are really passionate about a cause and are using it as a platform. I think the One Another title is interesting, and I was thinking about it the other night, whether it signifies that we're all one and that we're all examples of anybody walking past on the street, and that's definitely true, but at the same time we're kind of made other by the fact that we're on the plinth, and it's like being in the stocks. I mean, are people sort of gawking and pointing and laughing, or are they celebrating as they're walking past? And that's an interesting sort of line to be on, and I'm sure it does depend on what kind of mood people are in or what people are doing on the plinth, because I've definitely seen people and thought, wow, that's really cool, and then I definitely looked at people and thought, oh, really? So it's a really interesting mix of what's going on in people's heads. I think there's going to be so much material. It's a job for a lot of people for a long time going through it and distilling stuff out of it. But yeah, it's a portrait of sorts of the UK. It's an interesting one. But it's going to be a lot of work for someone to get that message out.
Any closing words?
No, I think we're done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.